Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, October the 2nd, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Safee Dean of the Sun Sentinel, new Miami Dolphins reporter for the Sun Sentinel, as we talk about all things Miami Dolphins. And just before we started to record this afternoon, the news broke about Jordan Phillips being released by the Dolphins. And before I get to Safeed, let me sort of talk about that quick here at the top of the show. Jordan Phillips was released, and for those of you who are longtime listeners of this podcast, you will know I am not a huge fan of Jordan Phillips. Never have been, never will be. With that said, the timing of this move is head-scratching. The Miami Dolphins are short William Hayes. They're short Andre Branch. The defensive line is in shambles. Charles Harris, this past week, first-round pick last year, was outplayed and out-snap counted, I guess you could say, on the field by a guy who, in his first game ever, called up from the practice squad in Woodard. Charles Harris right now is utterly worthless. He provides the Miami Dolphins with nothing. And with the Miami Dolphins having this mess on the defensive line, I don't know if this was the time to let go of Jordan Phillips. Now, from Adam Gase's perspective, Phillips threw a little bit of a temper tantrum on the sideline this week, and he threw a hissy fit because he thought he should be on the field more. He was only on the field for 25 snaps. He wanted to be on the field for more, and that was, I guess, the beginning of the end here for Adam Gase, where he said he just had enough. Because remember, Adam Gase has final control over this 53-man roster. Gase had enough and just sort of said, see you later, we're done with you. But again, I'm not a huge fan of Phillips, but the timing of this move. Could he have waited a couple weeks till they got back Andre Branch at least, maybe? I don't know. Would that have been the end of the world? I don't think so. But that's not what Adam Gase decided to do. And I know many of you out there are on one side of this saying, you know, good, this is Adam Gase's team. If you don't want to be all in with Adam Gase and show up and try your best, then get the hell out of here. I get that. But there's the other side of the coin. And last year, after the trade of Jay Ajayi, Bill Cowher on the CBS pregame show, the NFL Today, said, you know, as a head coach, you're paid a lot of money and you have a lot of responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities is managing personalities. And on a 53-man roster and a practice squad and a coaching staff, you know, you're not going to have a bunch of choir boys. And you're going to have, not everybody's the same and built the same. And you're going to have guys who are, you know, tough to handle, tough to coach, tough to deal with. But because of their talent, you know, you gotta find a way to make it work sometimes. That's on the head coach. And the head coach just can't run off every player he can't, you know, get through to. He's got to work harder at times to get through to said player. And we've seen it with Jay Ajayi. We saw it with Landry, although I know some of it with Landry was financial and the finances. But if Adam Gase really wanted Jarvis Landry on his team, they would have found a way to make it work. We all know that. He had no problem letting Landry go because, you know, Landry, last year in the game against Kansas City, threw a temper tantrum on the sideline. It's getting caught on tape yelling at the head coach as the game's ending. Then in the final game, he gets ejected, starting a fight and all of that. Adam Gase didn't want that anymore, and he had no problem with letting him go. Now Jordan Phillips, look, nobody's sitting here telling you Jordan Phillips is the next coming of Warren Sapp. He's not. Okay, he's not that player. But, you know, is this the time to let him go? Could have waited a couple weeks? I don't know. And what the Miami Dolphins will do next, they did sign Garrison Smith to their practice squad today. One would think they'll probably call up Jameis Pittman to the active roster short term. Would I be shocked if they went out and signed Kendall Langford again? No. Or maybe they got someone else in mind. Who the heck knows? But the defensive line right now is a mess. And until they get Andre Branch back, really, who knows? And again, Andre Branch had a knee injury last year, missed a couple games. When he came back, he was not the same player. not the same player. He was almost a liability when he was on the field when he came back. So hopefully Andre Branch can recover, but the defensive line right now is not in good shape. It's very thin, and let's be honest, the Miami Dolphins, with their luck, this would be the week after they released Jordan Phillips that either Vincent Taylor, Akeem Spence, Devon Godchild, one of them goes down to an injury and they'll be even more thin. That would be such a Dolphins thing to happen. Hopefully it's not the case, but we'll keep an eye on this and what the Miami Dolphins' next moves are. Like I said, they just signed Garrison Smith Tuesday night to the practice squad. Maybe there's another move here coming. I would think Pittman is going to get called up to the active roster, though, but we'll see. There's a lot of injuries, so let's get to the next one. Daniel Kilgore at center, obviously out for the year with a tricep injury. The Miami Dolphins today did sign Wesley Johnson, a center, who spent some time with the Jets between 2014 and 2017. He was with the Lions this summer, but they let him go on September 1st in their final cuts. So Wesley Johnson has been brought in as another, you know, interior offensive lineman. But the head-scratching move here to me is, and from all things I'm hearing off the record, Johnson's being brought here to play. And he's not being brought here just to be depth. So it does make you wonder, you know, Wesley Johnson was cut September 1st. He was cut around the same time Travis Swanson was cut. Why did Miami sign Travis Swanson over Wesley Johnson then? If Travis Swanson, you know, if he's not the answer when somebody goes down to an injury, then why the hell is he here? And it makes you wonder what Miami's front office is doing. Now, maybe Miami's front office soured on Swanson after they saw him play this past week against New England. That's possible. But Travis Swanson was clearly overmatched against the Patriots. I know he's being asked to come in a tough spot. I do. And he probably deserves another game. And he'll get that game this week at Cincinnati. Not an easy spot for him. But Travis Swanson did not look good against New England. But Miami did sign Wesley Johnson. They might be in the market for another interior offensive lineman. Or Isaac Asiata might get called up. Who knows? But the offensive line, you know, much like the defensive line right now, not in great shape. Bobby McCain out 2 to 3 weeks. This isn't good. But I would think, hopefully, Rashad Jones is back. And Cordrea Tankersley, you know, he's probably going to have to play. He'll probably have to play this week. He'll probably have to play. But a lot of injuries right now for the Miami Dolphins. And there's a lot to talk about. And I do cover this all with Safi Dean from the Sun Sentinel. So what I'll do right now is take a quick break. And when we come back, I'll be joined by Miami Dolphins beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel, Safi Dean, as we cover all the latest with the Miami Dolphins, talk about last week's game, this upcoming week's game against Cincinnati, as well as go over the, you know, the roster turnover happening right now and get his thoughts on the Jordan Phillips release today. So sit tight, and we'll be back right after this.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Safed Dean from the Sun Sentinel. Safed, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. So just before we started recording, there came the news that the Miami Dolphins have released defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. Did you see this one coming, or are you a bit surprised here with this?
I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest with you. And when you kind of look at the writing on a wall, it kind of seems like, okay, this was the next move for the Dolphins. Jordan Phillips, you know, had a sack, I think only 5 tackles this season for the Dolphins. And supposedly I wasn't at the Patriots game. I'll be at the game on Sunday against the Bengals, but supposedly he had a, you know, tirade during the game. Wasn't happy with being pulled during the Patriots game because the Dolphins, you know, they like to use the rotation of defensive linemen, as you know, with the ends and the tackles. And I think this release, especially on a contract year for a guy like Phillips, is definitely sending a message not only to him, but, you know, players in the locker room as well. Very similar to what the Dolphins did with JHI, you know, a season or a couple of seasons ago with letting a good player go and, you know, I'm surprised by it. Yeah, I didn't expect this to happen, especially with the Dolphins. You know, you have a guy down to a knee injury with Andre Branch. William Hayes is out for the season. You only have three defensive tackles left. The Dolphins know they have depth to release a guy. You know, it had to be something egregious for them to just go ahead and pull the plug on him.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so surprising, is that they're already down Hayes. Andre Branch might be another week to 3 weeks. Nobody is quite sure, really. And they're sort of thin at that spot. And, yes, if you look at the snap counts from this week, Phillips only played 25 snaps, which isn't a lot. But Vincent Taylor, he only played 27. So maybe, yeah, I mean, it has to be something behind the scenes where he wasn't happy for them to make this move. Do you think they'll look outside to add someone here, or do you think short-term they'll probably call up Jameis Pittman from the practice squad? I know he's a rookie, but they seem to like him a lot in the summer. Do you think that's the first move they make, or will they look to go outside and add a body from someone who's still available?
First of all, I just want to give a shout-out to Jameis Pittman and the practice squad, you know, from UCF, the national champion.
There you go.
Last season. before joining the Sun Sentinel, I was at the Orlando Sentinel, and loved watching UCF play the last couple of years. I do apologize for my dog. He's going a little
bit okay.
Here in the background, of course. But I think moving forward, I think the you have Akeem Spence, you have Vincent Taylor, you have Gotchuk. Those are gonna be your guys on the inside that really take the majority of the snap counts now, and the Dolphins found themselves in a particular situation where instead of having these numbers where you're moving guys in the first two games of the season, now you're just down, you're down Jordan Phillips, you're down William Hayes, you're down Andre Branch. You know, you're going to get Andre Branch back at some point this season. I know he has that knee injury. But they're in a particular situation where now they're going to have to depend on everybody to play. And even maybe move some, DN guys on the inside for a player or two, depending on what kind of series they want to run. I'm interested to see what they do. Will they sign somebody from the outside? I think there's a good chance. I know Kendall Langford is probably a name that's come out there, who, was with the Dolphins during minicamp. I'm interested to see what they do. You know, the Dolphins, they need to sign players. They need to get some players quick, especially with how many injuries they've had. And I'm also interested to see if Adam Gase finally gives in and releases one of the four quarterbacks he has on the roster.
Well, I think that makes the most sense. At some point, I mean, it makes no sense to carry four. And if I had to guess, one would go, it'd probably be Fails, but who knows? Let's talk about some of the other injuries right now. The offensive line is also in a little bit of a mess, I guess you could say. Sitton, obviously, he gets hurt after week one. But then this week, it was bad enough how they lost to the Patriots. But then the injuries on top of it. Kilgore is obviously out. What do you think they're going to do at center? Is there a chance they could move Ted Larson to center and try to add someone else at guard? Or are they pretty much set, you think, with Larson at left guard?
I think they're definitely going to give Isaac Asiata a chance to move up from the practice squad. I think that might be the best move. And I know they had a couple of players come in and work out. Maybe they'll sign a player on Wednesday. But as we saw, Kilgore went out and they had Travis Swanson in at center. And I was a player that they were comfortable with, even though they just added him, at the beginning of the season. But as we saw in the Patriots game, Swanson had a, fastball of a snap, got by Ryan Tannehill. It was a horrible turnover for the Dolphins, and the Patriots scored one play later with James White running it in 22 yards. So that's going to need some work. I think Larson has filled in well for Josh Sitton, who tore his rotator cuff in the first game of the season. And, the big picture, you look at this, you see Josh Sitton was signed, and Daniel Kilgore was signed this offseason too, because they were thought of as players who could be healthy and players who could support the offensive line. Ryan Tannehill even went out to say that the offensive line at the beginning of the season was probably the most comfortable he's felt behind those guys in his whole time being a Dolphins player. So you can just see by that comment alone and losing two guys that you signed in the offseason, really, really bad for the Dolphins, especially, and you have this 3-1 start, but if that's the cause for losing those two guys, you don't know what the rest of the season is going to unfold there. You're going to have to put some pieces in, depend on your backups. But I'm interested to see how everything does unfold for the Dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys. Yep. And in the secondary, Rashad Jones, what's the odds he probably plays this week, you think?
If he didn't play last week, I'm not sure he might play this week. The shoulder injury, we don't know to the extent of how hurt he is, but he has missed two games. Did practice all of last week. I think he even became a full participant in practice at some point last week. And Adam Gase ultimately ruled him out. For the first game, I think he probably wanted to play and Gase ruled him out just because it was some soreness there. That was the Raiders game. But Rashad Jones is, you know, one of the big major pieces for this defense. And now you're going to also be without Bobby McCain for, a few weeks with a knee injury.
If you're without McCain, really need Jones then.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, luckily they have Minka Fitzpatrick. He's probably going to still play a little bit more safety. And you have a guy like Maurice Smith who had some good highlights in the Patriots game. He's going to come in during more nickel sets. You're going to have to depend on Fitzpatrick. You're going to hope to see if, you know, Tankersley or Torrey McTyer can, you know, fight it out for the next cornerback spot. But the secondary went from being, you know, a really great strength. The Dolphins, you know, lead or near the top of the NFL in interceptions this season, I think with 8 or 9. And now it's just become, you know, we have to wait for Jones to come back. You got to wait for Bobby McCain to come back to really be at full strength. It's not ideal at all. And it adds to the issues that the Dolphins have had, you know, after the first month of the season.
Yep. And this past Sunday obviously was a bad loss to New England. I want to get your thoughts on that game. To me, it's not totally surprising that they lost. It's a little surprising they lost by as much as they did, I think. But then when you really take a step back and look at it, it might have been really the perfect storm in that you had the Patriots who were 1-2, and everyone knows they wanted to get back on track. And then you got Miami who was down, you know, a lot of guys like Jones and Parker and Hayes and Branch and Sitton. So it seemed like almost a perfect storm for Miami to pretty much get steamrolled. What are your thoughts on that game? And I mean, I know there's not much to take away from it, but just what were your thoughts on that game overall?
You know, I think it was really easy to see the Dolphins at 3-0, to see them have a 2-game lead in the AFC East over the Patriots, the Jets, and the Bills. It was easy to drink that Kool-Aid. It was nice.
Oh,
it was
sweet. It was.
I don't know what kind of flavor Kool-Aid you guys like. I'm a cherry flavor kind of guy. It was sweet, and I drank it too, man. I thought this was going to be the time for the Dolphins to really dethrone the Patriots. And then, you know, during the week, I kind of just was listening to what everybody was saying, from Adam Gase to some of the players. And the vibe I got was they wanted to make it, you know, another game against another opponent. And at that point, I was like, okay, I think we all know this is going to be another loss for the Dolphins in Foxborough. This, you know, was not a great, you know, defeat whatsoever. I mean, you lose and that's bad enough. You lose by 31 in blowout fashion. It seemed like the Dolphins couldn't wait for that game to be over. And that's before the first half even ended. The Dolphins could have went 4-0 for the first time since 95. Every other time they've done that in their history, they've gone to the playoffs. You know, there was a big opportunity for the Dolphins to have there, especially with how, you know, the offense wasn't clicking, let's be honest. They've got some big plays against the Titans. They took advantage of turnovers against the Jets. Two more big plays, you know, to get past the Raiders in week 3, and those big plays didn't come to life, or I don't even think there, you know, many were called against the Patriots. I think that, you know, the pass to Stills, the first play of the game from Tannehill, 22-yarder that, you know, kind of opened up and like, all right, maybe the Dolphins are going to be a little aggressive here.
That was the best play of the game.
It was the only play of the game. And I think probably Adam Gase's biggest mistake was right after that play, he should have dialed up one of his trick plays. Instead, he tried to go methodical. He tried to, you know, work the playbook. He tried to call some plays for everybody else to get involved, and instead of just trying to hit a home run with one play. Who knows if that would have happened or not, but I think the Dolphins have shown, I think they've only had 2 really long, sustainable drives that they've had this season. They both came against the Titans in the opener. One of them was for a touchdown. The second one was they went for 4th down to Drake, and he was short on a pass in the flat. And this Dolphins team, for them to score, they're going to have to rely on those big plays, and it's not the best recipe for any team playing football. So overall, I think the Patriots loss was a bad loss. Doesn't look good next week, you know, against the Bengals, who may be one of the top, you know, 5 or 10 teams in the NFL. And I know we're talking about the Bengals here, but they've been playing really, really well this season.
They played really well.
Andy Dalton's on a roll. They just had a comeback win against the Falcons last week, you know, in the final seconds. And also the Bengals, the Bears the week after that, they're both atop the division right now. The Dolphins, they may be 3-1. They may still have a lead in the AFC East, but, you know, you don't know how long that's going to last. And, you know, the Dolphins have a lot of work to do for these next 2 games.
Yep, and I think the issues on the offensive line are probably the most concerning, because you look at Cincinnati and you look at the Bears, and with no Josh Sitton and no Kilgore, how are they going to block these teams? That, to me, is the biggest question facing them right now, because if they can't block those teams, it might be a long day for the Miami Dolphins on offense. And speaking of their offense, are you surprised through four games they sort of haven't found a way to get the ball in the hands of Kenyon Drake Moore? It seems like he's almost the forgotten guy this year. And the way he ended last year, which was spectacular, you would have thought heading into this year they would try to maybe feature him more, get him the ball more. It just seems like he's the forgotten guy through four games.
Yeah, the sad fact I saw about Kenyon Drake the last two games, he's only had three carries each. He's only had three rushing yards in each of the last two games. His carries are down, especially particularly against the Patriots. You know, the Dolphins were just behind schedule. They were getting penalties on the first, a couple early downs. You know, of all those third down plays that they didn't convert, you know, at least half of them were third and long. Some of them even more than 12, one at least 20 yards away from a first down. Not ideal situations to run the football. The first down they got was right at the end of the half with Drake converting on a third and one. Drake is simply, if you want to get him the ball, you want to get him more touches, you're going to have to give Frank Gore a little bit more too into the mix, just so that offensive line can get some confidence in its blocking. But if the offensive line is committing penalties, and if they're, unable to make their blocks, there's no room for Drake to really operate. Like you said, last year Drake was, showed some really explosive plays at the end of the season. He seemed to be a home run guy. Those plays just don't happen, though. You're going to have to grind out the 3-, 4-, 5-yard plays, even a few 1 or 2s in there before anything breaks open like that. And because the Dolphins have been behind schedule, he hasn't been able to touch the ball. So with Drake, it's just an offensive problem altogether. And then depending on Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant to come up with big plays, and Kenny Stills being a deep threat, all those guys have had opportunities, and Gase has found success having those opportunities, so you rely less on the running game. But Gase has to do a lot of things. All of their deficiencies on offense came to light against the Patriots, and now I think every team the rest of the season are going to use that same defensive game plan against the Dolphins.
Yep, absolutely. And final question for you here. Through four games, in your eyes, how has Ryan Tannehill looked? I thought heading into this past week's game, where everyone looked bad this past week against the Patriots, so you can't just hold it against him. The whole team just sort of was a letdown and sort of failed in their own respect. What's your thoughts on him through four games, coming back from the knee injury? I thought he's done a very good job of protecting the football. He's made some plays with his legs, obviously. Just overall, what are your thoughts on the quarterback so far through four games?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think, Tannehill is shaking off some rust, especially with some live hits, some live action now the first month of the season.
Yeah.
I thought the Titans game went really well for him, especially with that long strike to Kenny Stills for that long touchdown. And I thought, the Jets game, he did a really great job of, taking advantage of turnovers, turning them into points, getting the Dolphins out to a 20-zip lead against the Jets, and, kind of holding ground in that second half and coming up with that final drive to beat the Jets in week two. Against the Raiders, they only had 39 offensive plays, didn't have a lot to work with. In the third quarter, they opened up that game with that long pass to Parker. He had a touchdown to Stills in that game as well. That was when Jakeem Grant, had an 18-yard run and also had another, long touchdown. And Albert Wilson was able to get in the mix there at the end, but with a high five play. Ryan Tannehill's numbers were boosted tremendously from, the Drake, a short pass to Drake, who he took 18 yards for a run, for a running touchdown, but it really was a pass. Same thing for the Albert Wilson one that I believe happened in the same sense. So Tannehill's numbers have come back down to the mean a little bit. He has done a good job of trying to hold on to the football. He's had two turnovers that resulted in the fumbles, one against the Jets, one against the Patriots, as we saw. Hasn't thrown that many interceptions, which has been great. Hasn't turned the ball over much, which hasn't been great. So he's been good, doing a good job managing everything altogether. But you're going to want to see him sustain some drives and see the Dolphins offense together sustain some drives moving forward, because the big plays, you can't rely on that. If you rely on that on an offense, it's a bad recipe.
Yeah, 100% agree. I thought he's played well, but for them to win some games here, especially against teams like Cincinnati and Chicago, who are very good teams. Even the Lions, they're a very good team as well. I know everyone sort of thinks of their week one game against the Jets, but since then they have played well. He's going to have to make some plays with his arm, and hopefully he does. So, Safid, thanks so much for joining us here and letting us have a few moments of your time. Everyone, be sure to read Safid Dean at the Sun Sentinel and follow him on Twitter at Safid_Dean. Safid, thanks so much, and we look forward to talking to you again down the road.
You got it, Mike. I'm going to make sure my dog is fed and outside next time we talk. I promise you, all right?
That's all right. That's all right. You have a good one, Safid. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
All right, we're back. And once again, I would like to thank Safid Dean from the Sun Sentinel for joining us here today on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to read all of Safid's articles at the Sun Sentinel and follow him on Twitter at Safid_Dean. Here on the main page of our website, we got a bunch of new articles up at DolphinsTalk.com. Check them out, as well as the videos we have up as well from Kai and Anthony. A bunch of good stuff there. This week, the remainder of the week, we're going to have podcasts every day, and I got guests lined up for pretty much every day, and some big-name guests that you're going to want to hear from. So be on the lookout for new shows every day. I'll have a show dropping Wednesday afternoon with another guest that you will want to hear from for sure. So be on the lookout for that. As always, follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. And subscribe to this podcast, whether you listen to it on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Podbean, wherever. Subscribe to it. Leave us a comment and a rating. It's always appreciated. So I think that's all for today. Everyone have a great rest of your day. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.